After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a very special Mad Blurry Hysteria teaser episode. That was a lot to say of Hysteria 51 this week. So if you're not familiar, on our Patreon, every couple weeks, Chris Cogswell from the Mad Scientist podcast, David Flora from Blurry Photos, as well as Quiz Quiz Bang Bang and myself do special editions of our show, Mad Blurry Hysteria. We get together and we each bring a weird news story of the week or the month or something that's been strange and in the news, and we talk about it and we make fun of it. And we break it down and we argue and we make fun of Chris a lot, and it's all sorts of fun, and it's something we do on Patreon, and it's available on our Patreon, Hysteria 51, for the $1 tier and on up. We wanted to share one with all of you this week so you can get a little taste of it and see if it's something you'd be interested in. So this is one of our episodes of Mad Blurry Hysteria. We hope you like it. And John and I will be back next week with a regular episode of Hysteria 51.
Sit down and buckle up, chuckle fucks.
Whoa.
That's how I start my day with a brimming bowl of chuckle fucks every morning. It's good with chocolate milk.
I eat chuckle fucks like you for breakfast. Yeah, you eat chuckle fucks? I moved. I am no longer in Chicago.
What? Where are you?
I moved to Colorado.
Well, what? Holy crap, Ola. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it's fresh. It's brand new. I was waiting till we did this roundtable here to tell you.
Yeah, so how long has this been in the now I know a couple weeks ago when I was like, hey, anytime you need to do anytime you need to use the studio, you're free to it. And you're like, uh-huh.
I don't think it's been. It actually was a very fast process. Like Annie and I have thought about it ever since COVID hit, and she's been working from home, and and it wasn't until the end of December that we kind of got the okay from her work, and then we like made some furious plans in a month, and things kind of fell into place, worked out. And
for those of you playing along at home, his wife manually masturbates caged animals for research purposes, so that's kind of a job that's available everywhere, and she's lucky in that case.
We had to get the bigger moving truck for all the cages.
you'd think
you could stuff them full of your belongings. No, it doesn't work like that.
So can you say on air where you're at, or should we leave that for off air? What area of Colorado?
I'm in the montañas. I'm like smack dab. So the town's called Crested Butte, and it's near Gunnison, both of which are kind of south of Aspen, if you know that there, and all of it's a little southwest of Denver.
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's a crazy different than Chicagoland.
It is a bit.
And it's not Kentucky.
It sure isn't. There's a, I'm surrounded by like postcards outside.
Yeah.
With the views, and I've had to learn to use a snowblower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude,
well,
awesome.
Unfortunately, I already know that, and I am in Chicagoland still. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I've never used a snowblower, but I've certainly seen them in operation.
Oh.
I'm assuming the first time I use one, though, I'll like break my hand off or something terrible. That's just my assumption.
Not a day goes by that I don't hear about those snowblower hand break-off accidents.
Oh, bro. I'm telling you, man. Did you guys not get that? There was like a... Okay, maybe I'm like, for some reason, the only one that's on these hardware machinery...
porn sites? Murder porn? Like, horribleinjury.gov?
Okay, all right. In my defense, I do subscribe to a lot of subreddits that are about like people getting maimed and stuff. And like medical accidents. But
stumphump.biz.
Stumphump.biz.
I'm more into stumpuptheass.edu, but that's just me.
Oh my god. Oh, you know it's serious when it's a .edu. It's a certified 501c3 charity then.
Hey, when you log in, I hear that there's severed singles in your area.
Excited to meet.
God damn it, I'm just trying to tell people to be careful with their snowblower.
I thought that was a given, but who knew?
Well, now.
Oh, now, man.
I have a chub, and I'm upset.
Is it because people stick their hand in the auger?
Yeah, it's so the auger, you're supposed to have, there's supposed to be like a thing, you know, like those videos you put a, oh god, this is going to sound terrible. You put a hot dog in the auger and it'll automatically stop. But evidently on some new ones, the auger doesn't stop and it just keeps going. Yeah. So they had to like recall a bunch of them.
Well,
so don't put your hot dogs into the augers, kids.
I did break a cotter pin when the first time I used it. I mean, I think it's a common thing to break pins on the auger, but
well, great. I've never done that in mine, and now I'm
before I removed it. You know,
well, when you're in the squarest state in the nation, stuff like that just happens.
It's true.
I think it is it's the only like actually like square state, right? Or is it rectangular? I don't know.
It in Wyoming. I think there is a like the slightest curve on one of these two, but
it sounds like you're just hoping. You're hoping for a curve.
Okay. Maybe. Brent, did you just ask what the difference was basically between a rectangle and a square?
No, I can't remember if it's a rectangle or a square. I'm not looking at the map of the nation at the moment. I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember the shape, but I remember that Colorado is one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Colorado is basically it's a perfect rectangle.
Tetrahedron, I gotcha. Perfect.
Still but not. They're all parallelograms.
It's a 20-sided die.
Oh man! So I guess we can get into our topics. And well, Chris, you had a last second change. Yours is very topical; it just came out. Why don't you start us off with what your chat worthy, not even an article. It's more of a twat or a tweet. I'm sorry.
It's more like a twat. Well, I might be correct.
Well, once you find out what he's talking about, you
I
understand
might be correct.
Why.
So Tom DeLonge put out. People were like, Tom, what's going on Instagram? You haven't been like super crazy about aliens recently. Like what's happening? Are you okay? You know, you haven't sent an alien picture in a few weeks. You feeling okay, buddy?
People were saying, where are you?
Yeah.
And are you okay?
Yeah.
Can you sleep? Did you stub your toe? I don't know. I'm making up different words.
So essentially,
Colorado is really square, is what we're getting at. That or rectangular.
So he posted this thing now, a picture of a posted a picture of. So there is a long running history now. There's like a family, right? I'm not going to say the family.
I knew this photo. I've seen this photo.
Yes. So anyone who's followed kind of UFO stuff on Twitter or Facebook in the last maybe like year, 2 years has followed this saga of this family.
It's a zoom in on said photo, but yeah, it's a famous photo.
So it's a family who basically believes or seems to believe that they are especially connected to aliens and that aliens are have some religious significance in that, like the Judeo-Christian, like they claim that the Vatican has invited them to speak and they've talked to very famous or I guess infamous now sort of religious philosopher like Diana Walsh Pasalka, who, you know, wrote a book about ufology being a religion and kind of got sucked into it herself and now is sort of a big proponent of it, it seems like.
Well, the,
and so
the thing about this family, too, that I found really interesting is most people kind of like wrote them off right away. And then TTSA started having them and talking and in every photo they had and shit like that.
Well, so the thing is that they are their story comports with and fits with kind of a long running myth in the UFO world, which is that basically aliens are our gods and they're here to make the world better, right? Like it's like an old school, really an old school way of looking at aliens. And so they believe that these are like, they're psychic, they're, you know, all that stuff, right? Aliens or angels or demons or whatever. So it's
and a very, they're all like, white.
Right. So it all fits in with a very like, It fits in snugly with like a long running view of this sort of thing that people have already presupposed and everything else. And because the family seems to have consistent sightings with each other and they're not screaming pants off crazy, people take them seriously. Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, I can't say either way about the family's, I can't say either
mental
way
state?
About their,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I can't say anything about the validity of their claims or whatever, but I can say that this photo is shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible photo, right? It's super blurry. It is a blurry photo. Ding 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 ding. It's super blurry. Term. It's and they claim that they took it while in the woods with like another sort of famous ufologist woman who's also like a psychic or whatever, and you know, they claim that they didn't see the person or they didn't see this outline when they were in the woods at night walking. At first, they claimed that what appeared to be pretty obviously just like a long shutter effect from the cell phone. What that was like a being or something. And then the picture of the alien was the being and whatever. And again, because these people are sort of they're kind of old school and they've been really supported by people like the people in TTSA, like Jim Semivan, who's also an experiencer, you know, because they're sort of in that same wheelhouse of like religious ufology, they're taken, I think, or they're given credence by people like To the Stars Academy, or at least parts of To the Stars Academy. So it's kind of an interesting thing. But so Tom releases this photo, and you know, this is only like a couple of weeks after To the Stars Academy essentially announces like, hey, we're no longer a science thing. We're now an entertainment thing. And so people are just shitting all over it and are just like, what are you doing, dude? And it's bad. It's bad news. So that's my story.
What about all the people that gave all that money because it was a science thing and they were promised flying cars and real things and this and that and the other, Chris? What's happening with that front?
Those people, my dear friends, are what we call dupes.
Rubes.
they are the rubes.
Or Sims. You know, I mean, really, we'll allow you to call them Sims as well.
Like, here's the thing, right? I think probably To the Stars Academy should have a real serious looking at because, well, first off, they're the single biggest investor in To the Stars Academy was Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
You know? So if anyone's going to wear the King Dupe hat, it's Mr. DeLonge himself, right? So, you know, in terms of like the money that went into this organization, I don't think anyone can claim that DeLonge didn't legitimately think that his vision could work. I don't think anyone in the team didn't think that their vision could work. The problem is that they're trying to like, and frankly, they've been successful in some ways that even I didn't think they were going to be successful initially, right?
You can't take away some of the things. They got people to come out and say, yeah, there are things that we are investigating. We don't know what they are. They're the Tic Tac video, the stuff from the Nimitz. It they did have some very big success.
Absolutely. So there's really no way, like, there's no way to take away from that. But at the same time, you know, the initial wording that people like, you know, skeptics like myself, frankly, were making at the beginning was like, don't give money to this thinking that you're going to get out of it a spaceship.
Right.
You know, like, don't invest in this if you think they're going to have disclosure. Like, they have been very successful, but based on everything we know about them, they're going to use this money to become an entertainment company. And that's what they did, you know? And again, the parts of it that have had success, I think, are peeling away now and doing their own thing. And they're going to probably be successful in other avenues.
We saw a mass exodus a couple months ago of key players, and that should have been the writing on the wall for a lot of people.
So it's complete and utter kind of chaos right now. And it's really fascinating. You know, some of the comments were things like, you know, so the DeLong, he just posted the picture and he just wrote real picture. Mm-hmm. Period. And then this picture, and people, and I got in on this too, are just posting ridiculous photos and saying real picture.
I like the one of you in the dentist chair with the glasses on. That was what that was.
About to get a tooth pulled.
Real picture.
And then there's one I saw, which was like two Japanese wrestlers, both of whom have their faces in the other one's jock strap. And it like they're suplexing each other, and it just is real picture. Can you explain it? I can't explain it myself. So it must be anomalous. Pretty interesting.
You know, I don't want to crap on people for wanting to believe in things like that. And like you said, they did bring some stuff to the forefront. But in looking at what the company was trying to do, I just had this horrible, sick feeling. And the problem was... The problem for me when TTSA came on is there were some people in the UFO community that are serious or pretend to be serious or whatever that had very strong positive feelings toward TTSA. And if you said anything like, well, you being the proverbial anyone, you, there are some red flags I'm seeing here. Go fuck yourself, you idiot. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And now I look at those people and we see what's happening. And I just think like, well, where do you go now? Like, what do you say? Like, what's your excuse? And I don't want to, you know, they burned a lot of bridges. People got so angry about this.
Well, that's the thing, right? As I mean, again, the UFO community is like, it's like 200, you know, there's probably less than 100 real serious people doing any kind of
real research out there.
Research in UFOs.
That we look to, yeah.
Right, in any one given time. And even of those people, you could probably winnow it down to like maybe a dozen who are really pushing things forward at any given time. And frankly, I'm not one of those dozen people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like the people in To the Stars Academy aren't those dozen people. Maybe Elizondo was. I guess you can make that case. And Christopher Mellon certainly, I think, would be in the last couple of years. But the people that were kind of pushing it or pushing the narrative and everything else, in a lot of cases, seem to be doing more harm than good to what TTSA was trying to do.
Right.
And especially now, like, you know, we frankly do kind of the same thing when we think about the way that we can talk to people about this seriously. Like, there's a real difference between the stuff you get out of places like, say, SETI, where they're talking about, you know, looking at the skies for objects that we can't explain or whatever. That's different than posting a picture of a supposed alien being, you know, and just being like, we got him. We did it. We got him, America. Like, no, we don't have anything. We have no good pictures of aliens or of UFOs. We have no data. Outside of people reporting stuff, and people report all kinds of crazy stuff. You know how many? Dude, do you know how many people report actual sightings of dinosaurs every year?
Leave like, Billy Meyer out of this, you dude, bastard.
Like, people report all kinds of crazy crap. So, you know, it's just a whole crapshoot, and I think it's going to be it's going to be really interesting seeing how the evolution happens. Because like you said, there are a lot of people who made their entire career so far in this field. And that's what it is. It's a career. It's a media career on being pro to the Stars Academy. And those people, you know, that's their brand, you know?
Yeah.
And so now they're in a really hard position, and it's why you don't ever put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want something like To the Stars Academy or whatever you might come about to work. It's just sometimes when they come about the way they did, you just go, oh, man, I don't know. I just don't trust this because of the writing on the wall. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, what are you going to do?
Yep.
Shifting gears from alleged photos of aliens to unsolved murders. The Lizzie Borden home side of the brutal axe murders could be yours, kids, for a cool $2 million. The house that she lived in and her parents were murdered in turned bed and breakfast is for sale up in Massachusetts. Have you guys ever been there or been to the area?
I haven't.
It's in Fall River. And Chris, have you?
I've been to the area. I've never made the trip to the Lizzie Borden house, but I've definitely been in the area. I mean, I don't know, maybe they turn it into, they turned it into like an axe murdering museum.
Well, it's kind of like a museum, I guess, but it is a functioning bed and breakfast, and the people that own it are selling it now. Lisa and I were actually going to go last year pre-pandemic, and we were going to stay there on part of a trip and then do an episode on it, and well, the world saw fit to put a crap to that. But it's interesting because if you guys aren't familiar, you know, the mom and the dad were murdered there. She was the only suspect. She was acquitted, and no one was else ever charged or brought up with charges or anything, and everyone's heard that Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When he saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. They weren't hit that much, but what a fun nursery rhyme to teach your little kids. So, you know, making money off murders and shit like that, that's crazy. But I love it says at the end of this article, and this is from Live Science where they were talking about it. They said, you might think that the site of a double homicide would be a questionable destination for a relaxing getaway, but the real estate agent encourages prospective buyers to imagine taking a lighthearted approach to running this unique bed and breakfast. Picture yourself serving fun hatchet cookies, the listing reads. Murder. You know, it's
red
just like,
Kool-Aid,
man,
everyone.
It seems a little celebratory of murder. I mean, I guess anytime you're doing something like this, it is in way. But, man, I don't know.
Dude, yeah, it's a little hard to paint.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be challenging, though, too. Like, okay, so it looks like actually – so it's pretty south. It's, like, pretty much Rhode Island where this is.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've always lived, like, north of Boston or that area. You know, we've already basically been, like
– Nobo.
Yeah, we've always been Nobo. I'm a Nobo Bobo.
A Nobo Bobo hobo.
Yeah, I guess I've actually never been down the way. It'd be cool to go for sure. It's got a great for visitors thing on Google. So that's fun. It does make you wonder though, like when we lived in when we drove from Boston to Minnesota to Minneapolis to live, we actually stopped off at we stopped at a couple different scenes of like horrific murders because we're
as
crime
you do.
Junkies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We drove through like where, you know, John Wayne Gacy lived, and we drove to Drew Carey's house. That was scary. And then we also drove, you know, like
the infamous murderer of Price is Right.
You know, like, but it is hard though. Like sometimes it's like, you know, like there was a, like in Boston, there was like a molasses explosion and like a great, it was like a huge like death dealing event for people or whatever. And like, you know, it'd be in bad taste if they had like a, I don't know, like the molasses museum ball pit, right? Yeah. Like that'd be in bad taste.
They have one of those like teacup rides or something.
Right. Like that would be bad. And, you know, but at the same time, I guess if it's literally like all your, you know, like in Salem, Right? Like, they have, you know, they celebrate, like, hey, we turned into a violent mob and murdered a bunch of women.
Well, listen, those women were getting uppity. They were dancing and wearing pants and shit. So obviously they were witches.
They
liked those sex. Women were, they were pretty close to being witches.
The younger women in the city didn't like them, so they had to burn. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I think your point is well taken, though. Like, what's the line between, like, gruesome tourism? Like, it's like the people that buy, like, you know, people that buy, like, John Wayne Gacy's paintings and stuff.
Right.
Where is that yeah. museum of murder?
Yeah. I mean, a museum, I understand if it's there for research or to have a display of a collection. The Baggins one is a little bit weird because he's just like, oh, hold on, guys. Did you hear that? Sorry, something just flew by me. You probably didn't hear it, but my producers say I didn't pick it up on camera, but, you know, we'll fix it in post. No, sorry. I was channeling my inner Baggins inner there. Exactly.
I saw that. Have you been to the museum?
No. Is it fun?
Parts of it are, but then, like, a lot of it is, this is the bed that Ed Gein kept his victims in. You can still see the feces stains and the blood stains, and this is the car that Jack Kevorkian used to perform his euthanasia. You know, like,
wow.
Andy and I were just like, this is kind of disgusting. Like, it's the line of morality is, like you were saying, Chris, it's very thin with this stuff,
right? Like, I can understand when you want to have stuff, like I was saying, to have on display, for some things should be preserved, but when does it just become spectacle and then it's just a modern day freak show?
Yeah.
Not exploiting the people, but more the dead or the memories or the living relatives.
That's the thing, too. I guess I could see, because, like, I'm fascinated by that kind of morbid stuff, right? I think we all are, having shows like
reason that true crime is, like, the number one genre.
Right, exactly. Everyone wants to murder their loved ones. You know, if only everyone wanted to make fun of their ghosts, we'd be in the money, fellas. I guess I could see you have a museum like this, and then all of the money you make goes to, obviously, upkeep of the museum, but then also to, like, a woman's shelter or, like, domestic violence programs to, like, help people. You know what I mean? Like, it is, I think, that there's a fine line between education and grotesque
and spectacle
displays of spectacle. And, yeah, it seems like, you know, showing off Ed Gein's, you know, I don't know, poop bed.
Yeah.
That's edging towards the grotesque. Whereas maybe, you know.
Yeah, if Chris wants to see a poop bed, he'll go into his bedroom. Come on now.
I mean, seriously, if I want to see a place that people have kept poop in a bed. No.
Keep going. I'm in. I'm in, all in on this conversation. Keep going. I yield my time to you, sir.
My lawyers have advised me to say no more about the poop bed.
I'm glad they're on the call too, though.
Oh, they have to monitor everything I say.
Yeah. So what you got? Colorado. What? Coloradoan? Is that
Coloradin? I think.
Coloradin.
Yeah,
that makes a lot more sense.
Collagene Roddenberry.
That's deep cut. That's deep cut. I appreciated it.
I got one that this is something I used to hear about all the time back in when I was first listening to shows about this stuff, and particularly the shows, the radio, like Coast to Coast, I think, used to have a lot of this, Mysterious Universe. Planet Nine, you might know it as Nibiru or Planet X or, you know, what, Tiamat, take your pick. But this is the supposed, now ninth planet that is kind of out there in our solar system, but
it's
is
always really Plan X in our hiding. Hearts, though. Come on now. It's Plan X in our, it's Plan X in our hearts.
Plan, you know? X, yeah.
Planet X. Good. Yeah.
Plan Nine, Planet X, Planet Nine, Plan X? No. Sounds like a cleaner. So anyways, this is the thing that's – it's like got such high stealth and hide and shadows proficiencies that people think it's out there, mm-hmm. but nobody's like really proven it yet. And they've pointed to, I don't know, ancient texts and crap like that, where they're like, you know, Tiamat, the dragon, comes and attacks the Earth or blah, blah, blah. And they're thinking, well, this was an ancient collision and, you know, the moon came from this. And this is an excellent way to tie that myth into reality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people have been looking for this for I don't know, lots of years now.
Real people. I mean, like, you know.
Real astronomers.
Yeah, people, exactly.
People who know what they're doing. Some of them have said that there is evidence that points to some kind of large gravity source that's out in the deep space past yeah. Neptune.
Yeah, right? Out so, in like the, what is that, the where the
Kuiper Belt?
Kuiper Belt. Yeah, there's evidence of another body, planet-sized body, is having gravity effects on it, on a long-ass like orbit it would have to be or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. One of these things, and you know, people have said that this planet Nibiru or whatever could just like perfectly be behind the sun from us at all times, and that's why we've never seen it, which is hilarious. And they've also said that it's got this huge orbit that means it only comes around, you know, once every tens of thousands of years or something, and we're due, and apocryphal prophecies and stuff follow. But
excuse me. So, I'd like to get by now.
yeah. Just going to squeeze by squeeze and grab on the branch. In here. But these are, they call them trans-Neptunian objects. And this one in particular, they were thinking, well, there's something out there that looks like it's pulling some dwarf planets. It's pulling some asteroids and stuff based on their observation. Well, this is coming from Live Science, and there was a paper that was published February 12th, and it's saying that, of course, you're going to see that kind of evidence because you're focusing in too small of an area, and so like everything you see there is going to look like it's going to relate to something else, you know, or some other theory or hypothesis you could tack on to it, right? Whereas they're suggesting, if you zoomed out or if you like looked around the area, you're going to find a lot similar stuff around there. That means there's probably not one single source that is having this effect that people think it might be. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting you're saying that because it's another one of those crazy theories or topics that this is out. 6 months ago, someone else said it might be there. 6 months from now, someone will say it might be there. And 6 months after that, someone will say it isn't. There's always those things, just like we've had a lot in Hysteria Nation of simulation theory. Simulation is proven, then it's disproven. Not proven, but the theory is absolutely probable, and then there's no way. And then all these people are serious academics that are saying these things, and it's such an interesting thing how these things ebb and flow through the scholars.
But that's kind of how science works,
right?
Yeah. Chris, like they it's tested and retested, and it just you kind of hope that everybody's on the level with what they're doing, but it will ebb and flow like that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like the ebb and flow isn't really that surprising, I guess. What is surprising is, or I guess what I'd say is, the interesting thing about theories like this is both how often they appear, but also how. So okay. The way that a theory kind of works, or the way that an idea like this propagates, or it should propagate, is something doesn't make sense in the data we're finding, which in this case would be that there seems to be some kind of gravity disturbance outside of near Pluto, right, or in the orbit outside near Pluto that we can't explain. And then people put forward explanations. And then the explanation that is the least disruptive to everything else we already know is the one usually that we go with. Right. And then eventually that one's either proven or disproven to be correct, or it's not, it can't ever be proven to be correct, but it's not disproven long enough that it's taken to be kind of accepted science. Yeah. And so the problem with a theory like this is that, like, we kind of keep waiting for the accepted science part to happen.
Or an aha moment where it proves itself or some shit like that.
Yeah, essentially. Like, we're always kind of waiting for, like, prove itself is gun or so, yeah. Yeah, like, prove itself is kind of the wrong word. I guess, like, well, a smoking like gun is better.
The event, this happens, or it, you know, we can actually,
like, well, like, here's the thing. We send probes to the moon all the time. You know, we send stuff to space. We just send a thing to Mars, right? We can study planets that are thousands of light years away from us pretty accurately now. And so, again, kind of if with all of that, like, what are the chances that this planet would be so hidden in so many ways, right? Like, eventually the space that it has to exist in is so small that it's like it doesn't make any sense anymore even for it to be a viable theory.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like – and also those ideas of like the 10th planet or whatever, they're always linked to like, you know, doomsday stuff and all that kind of crap and whatever. So it's like, you know, I don't know.
The who are the ones that were like doing the monoatomic gold and crap?
Yeah, all that stuff's tied into it.
Sumerian.
God,
I forget their names now. The Anunnaki. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
I love this one paragraph in here. I think it illustrates the point I was trying to make a lot better. But it says this statistical analysis is similar to the sort of gut checks opinion pollsters do all the time. If a survey of a few hundred Americans found that country music was the favorite genre of 55% of people, but then a closer look at the data revealed that 40% of the respondents happened to be from Nashville, the pollster might adjust the data to account for the fact that the sample was so heavily weighted toward one area of the country. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, the pollster might find that the huge preference for country music disappears. So I think that's a good...
That is a good way to put it, yeah.
Example of...
Yeah, yeah, 100%, yeah,
Well, we all know that we're in a binary star system and Nemesis is our other star that is hiding Nibiru, and that's just all going to come forward when the space Nazis or whatever the hell supposedly lives on Nibiru comes and takes over. I wish I was joking, but these are all things that some people still believe out there in, well, the flat Earth / crazy chode cosmos that is Earth.
Right.
Or Terra, or whatever they call us on Nibiru. I'm sure they have a crazy name. What do you think aliens call Earth? You know they don't call us Earth.
Terra, that's the
one I go with, yeah. That's the one that, like, that's just the accepted every sci-fi, no matter what it is. It's Terra.
What was it in John Carter? Mars was Barsoom.
Barsoom, yeah, that's right.
What was Earth was similar, but I forget what
Earth was. I think is how they
Earth. No, it was like Marsoon or something. Yeah, something that rhymed.
I didn't hate that movie like everyone seemed to.
I thought it was a fun movie.
I never read the books though, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And the
timing was weird for it, I guess.
What's that?
I think the timing for its release was weird, maybe, or something. I don't know.
I feel like if anything, they would call us something to do with water. You know, but I don't know. I'm not an alien.
Not while you're here, at least.
Alas.
All right, kids. Well, we got real photos of Lizzie Borden and her spaceship to Nibiru. That's what you learned this week.
That's it.
And next time, Chris was going to talk this time. He changed last minute. He was going to talk about little bitty lizards with giant penises. And that is not a lie. That is literally what he was going
to
talk about.
I'm really excited to talk about him next week because these things are huge.
They're relatively body size. They're more Tom DeLonge than they are DeWide.
Are they square or rectangle? I can never tell by looking. I don't have a picture in front of me. Oh, all right, kids. That's been Mad Blurry Hysteria. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Meeting adjourned.